Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 9. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
If you will lean in for this study, I'm sure you will not be disappointed. This is one of those passages that really gets down to the nitty-gritty of what's going on. If I were to divide it into pieces, I would probably tell you it revolves around three things. And those three things have to do with the worst of the worst, the war over the water, and the willfulness of the wicked. So there's your three hangers, okay? But we're going to drill into several things here that I think will be helpful for all of us. But in setting it up, we must regard this in its context. Chapter 8, as it were, brought before us a whole nother set of circumstances. There was silence in heaven about a half an hour. And we made the connection that God had told the Philadelphian church he would keep them from the hour of temptation, which would come on the whole world, which gives us a little heads up that the hour that he was talking about, they're in the midst of now, and for half of it, God let things just naturally unfold. The cataclysmic kind of things that unfolded in the world happened because God had pulled back his church by pulling us out in the rapture. He had allowed the world to have what it wanted, which was a political leader, a white horse rider, and then anarchy broke out because things were out of control, not only because people were taken from the earth, but also because even though the white horse rider came out, there was still the heart of man to deal with, and the hearts of men went into a disposition, if you will, of anarchy. And there was also the beasts of the field rose up and they were killing humans. I mean, it was like God took away a lot of common grace, okay? Took us out of the way, he takes out his common grace, and this world ruler's got more than he can handle, even though he's under the inspiration of the devil himself. Then we saw that verse 1 of chapter 8 was telling us about that half an hour. Then God gets into the fray, and the Bible tells us that then there was these trumpets that occurred. It all picked back up from the narrative of chapter 6, where it says there was a great earthquake. In chapter 6 at the end, verse 5 of chapter 8 says there was an earthquake. And that earthquake, of course, picked up where the seventh seal was broken. You see, there were six seals set before us in chapter 6. Then we got a little parentheses, and the parentheses showed us people getting saved in chapter 7. We see 144,000 evangelists getting sealed. We see multitudes getting saved. And then in chapter 8, we begin to see here in verse 5, it says the earthquake again, and we see trumpets beginning to blow. The seven trumpets and the seven bowl judgments are the seventh seal. So you started in chapter 6 with six seals being enumerated, but when the seventh seal was broken, we got a parenthesis, and now we're picking up the seventh seal. The seventh seal is the seven trumpets and the seven bowls. And we see a lot of things happening in the balance of chapter 8, but just know this, that so much of it is so familiar. What I'm saying is, God had not turned the water to blood for a long time. God had not done a hailfire from heaven and allowed the burning up of the trees and the bushes and all of the grass for a long, long time. Happened back in Egypt, but it was very familiar. That's what happens in the balance of chapter 8. God is showing himself to be on sight. He does things that they would recognize if they just took a moment to reflect, okay? And the things that he does in chapter 8 are plagues that he personally brings upon men. He turns water terrible, fourth of the people are killed. There's all kinds of things going on here. But this gives way to the end of the chapter where it says, woe, woe, woe in chapter 8 in verse 13. To the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. That's where we are. We've seen a handful of these trumpets. The final trumpet will be the seven bowl judgments. It gets a little confusing. You have seals, you have trumpets, you have bowls. The seventh trumpet is the seven bowls, but it's a continuum. There's nothing unfamiliar to you and me who have been through this time and again, but remember this, God is dealing with the entire world, But in reality, what we have here before us is a setting forth of the time of Jacob's trouble. God wants Israel back in his fold. They shouted, "Crucify him," back in the day, down around the times we just looked over our shoulder at here. We went through Palm Sunday and Easter, and they said, "Let the blood of this man be on us and our children." They said that when Pilate said, "What shall I do with this man?" You know, they called for Barabbas. And for a long time, a darkness in part had come over Israel, even though those people at the threshold of the church age and Pentecost made up the foundation of the actual church, the bride of Christ. We find 3,000 got saved, 5,000, a whole multitude. James says, you know, look at this great multitude. They were Jewish, but as time would unfold, 70 AD would come. Titus of Rome would come. He would destroy the temple. What I'm saying to you is that we're seeing the fallout of that. God has allowed a darkness to come over them for about 2,000 years. He's built his church. And in this book, we're finding God bringing Israel back into the fold. It's a time of Jacob's trouble because Jacob is completely deluded. It's hard to imagine how deluded they are. But let me just put it in terms that maybe you can identify with. If you're paying attention to some things on the news feeds that are out there, right now Israel will not let anybody come to Israel. If you do have some reason to be there, yeah, you can get in. But for the most part, it's not a tourist attraction. You can't go and visit and do a tour of Israel right now. They're kind of in lockdown. And what they also are is they're mandating vaccines. This is a big deal right now. They're telling everybody they need to get vaccinated. And if you don't get vaccinated, you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. It is not mandated by the government, but it's mandated by the businesses. So they're really manipulating. It's what we're seeing here, but they're such a small group, they've actually become the canary in the cave. And they actually see themselves as that. They talk about that. We are going to be the test case. Netanyahu is excited about being the test case. He wants to be the trendsetter of this whole movement. Why? Because he has no idea what we're looking at here. He doesn't know what the book says. And the Bible says in chapter 13 that in that day you're going to have to get a mark on your hand or your forehead or you can't buy, sell, or trade. They're saying you can't buy, sell, or trade if you don't get this vaccine and have a vaccine pass. If you do not get the vaccine, however, and you want to go out and do something, maybe send somebody in to buy for you, you can get a green pass and wear a wristband on your arm. It's that bad. Now I'm telling you, the time of Jacob's trouble, you have to have trouble sometimes for you to wake up. Isn't that true? I mean, it's like you think, well, I don't need to do this, I don't need to do that, I'll just disregard this, I'll just disregard that, and the next thing you know, you run into the wall. It's like, whoa, no, you have to pay attention. God's got a plan, and it's been laid before us in His Word. When it says, woe, 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 in the midst of these trumpet judgments, these three woes are woes, unlike anything that has come heretofore. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Let's look at verse 1. The Bible says, and the fifth angel sounded. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. We're going to stop there for a minute because there's some things to understand in regard to this. When the Bible talks about a star fall from heaven unto the earth having a key, you recall that in the first chapter, the Bible says Jesus reveals himself to John and he says, I have the keys of hell and death. A key was given. And if you are students of the scriptures, you know that there is a place called Hades that is often translated hell in the New Testament. We find that the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16 find themselves in Hades. There's a paradise side and there's a punishment side. The punishment side is fire. The man who was rich and had died, he is in torments, in flames, and he sees across a great gulf, and he sees Lazarus over there, who also died, but he went to the paradise side, and he sees Lazarus sitting in Abraham's bosom. So Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "You'll be with me in paradise," and Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham, so those are two names that are given to that side of Hades, Abraham's bosom and paradise. This is where we see a picture of what we're looking at here. You see, when Jesus died and when he was buried and when he rose again, during the time of his death and burial, we are given to understand from the book of Ephesians that Jesus descended into the paradise side of Hades. And when he ascended, he took captivity captive. So he took those Old Testament saints and he brought them out of the paradise side, because now the payment was made. All the Old Testament saints looked down through the corridors of time and they anticipated a time when there would be no more need for a sacrificial system. They had to get there. Part of the reason the sacrifices were done in the Old Testament during Israel's time with the temple and so forth was to kind of wear them out. If you had to go to the temple every time that you sinned, man, you didn't get anything done. Okay, so basically they had to kind of really work it through, because man, if you start thinking about your sin, you're not going to have anything else to think about. It can literally break you. And you'll see people who have been living a lost life throughout their decades and getting down through to the end, and you can see those people. They not only begin to become older and melty like all the rest of us, we all melt as we get older, that's how I put it. And what ends up happening is if they're lost, they get more pinched and more angry or more whatever they are, you know. And some people who are in oblivion, they might get nicer, but basically they're going quietly to hell, and that's its own judgment. I remember going not long ago into a nursing home, and there was one fellow sitting by the door in a wheelchair, and I'm not kidding you, he was swearing and he was shouting at these stupid people and he was carrying on, and it was like, you could tell, whatever was his world before he went into that place of dementia, it was right there on the front burner for him at that time. So I say to you that what we're seeing here is this angel has been given a key. Jesus had the key, and it's the key to a bottomless pit. In essence, it's a place of some interest for us, because he mentions it again in verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit. Now, if you're going to drill into a number of backstories, which you have to do, someone has well said that you cannot understand the book of Revelation until you have a good understanding of the rest of the Bible. You wouldn't even recognize the blood being turned to water unless you knew about the Exodus and God bringing the people of Israel out of captivity. You wouldn't recognize God for who he is. The Jews will. That's the time of Jacob's trouble. And he's telegraphing to them, "It's me." And you're going to see it more so in chapter 12 in a little while. But for right now, what we're seeing is the Bible tells us that there's this pit, there's this key, and this angel comes down because it's a star that falls from heaven. And that star is emblematic of an angel. And the angel comes down and he's got this key and he opens this bottomless pit. If we were to parse the realities of what's going on here, I would personally take you first of all to chapter 9 and verse 7. Let your eye fall into it here a little bit, where the Bible says, "And the shapes of the locust." So when this thing's open, it's not locust. It says locust came out, but it's not locust in the physical sense. It says the shapes of the locust. We're going to talk about that in a moment. We would then go also back to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read a couple of things for you. If you want to take notes, you can write these down. You don't have to chase them because we're going to bounce around a little bit. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took to them wives of all which they chose. And there were giants in the land in those days, and also after that.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.